Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill. And after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, my beautiful friends. How are you? I missed you last week. I was actually hosting a workshop at a corporate retreat. The workshop was called Unlock Your Creative Potential, and it's a workshop that I designed 5 years ago, and I'm still giving it to this day. So wanted to put in a little plug for that workshop. If you work for an organization who wants to really tap into individual and team creativity and really bring out each of your team members' gifts, then I have just the workshop for you. You can reach out to me via my website, allyouare.ca, to learn more about that. And I am really excited about today's episode. So while I missed you last week, it was partly because I was hosting my own virtual workshop for a whole week called 2 Weeks Notice. Many of you attended. And it was so amazing to connect with you and hear about your dreams and hear about what you're ready to set down and walk away from and leave behind. But this week, we are going back into conversation with other because this podcast is about our own journey and also about learning from the journey of others. And I'm really excited to introduce you to Palak Dave, who is the founder of Imbiria, a beautiful company that curates experiences and events within the community. And Palak and I met many, many years ago through a common friend and really just instantly connected because I think we both have this vision to make life beautiful. And although I don't think we talk about it in our conversation, Palak and I both lost our fathers at an early age. And I do think that when you experience loss earlier in life, it can propel you towards wanting to make the most out of life, right? Like we, when you experience this, the loss of someone you love, it really does show you in a visceral way how precious life is and how we're meant to celebrate it every day. And so I'm so excited to introduce you to Palak. She has also recently launched a book, which we're going to talk about and which you're going to want to get your hands on. I have my copy ordered already, and I cannot wait for you to hear from the beautiful Palak Dave. Let's dive in. Welcome, Palak, to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. I was saying in the intro to our conversation that we met a long time ago and our paths have intertwined in the most wonderful ways. And you are definitely one of those friends that I didn't see coming, you know, like it's one of those beautiful friendships that we connect when we were connected. We definitely were like, yep, we're going to be friends right away. And it's been so wonderful to see how your path has evolved since we met, and to see the beautiful community that you've created, and also just your willingness to take what you're passionate about and keep creating in new ways and explore new ways. And it's really been an inspiration to me, I have to tell you.
That's so sweet. Thank you so much. Honestly, I feel the same way about you. So we're obviously friends for a reason, but I definitely feel all of those things about you. And I think you do all of that beautifully as well. So I'm glad that we can see that in each other and like celebrate it and talk about it. Cause yeah, it's great.
Thank you. Thank you. I received that. I want to hear your story. I mean, I've heard your story before, but I want our listeners to hear the story of how you came to do the work that you're doing today. And I know it wasn't a straight, direct path. I know, you know, you kind of meandered like we all do to find our way. But I would love if you could share some of that story with us.
Sure. Yeah. I'll tell you a little bit about just, and I know you can relate to this too, but I was working corporate jobs for 10 years. So I kind of climbed the corporate ladder thinking that I would end up in brand marketing and that I would love it. Like right out of school, that was my my goal. And as soon as I left, I was just like really chasing that dream and thinking that's what I needed to do, even though I didn't even necessarily think I would want to go into business. I really dabbled with journalism at the time and things like that. But, you know, parents who influence, I was like, okay, I'm going to go into business. It's always a good thing to fall back on. Mm-hmm. And then I worked my way up at different various companies. And I loved my corporate jobs. I actually had some really cool positions for really cool companies like Indigo and companies that I actually resonated with. And then at my most recent corporate position at TIFF, I just remember having this little nudge, which I think obviously a lot of us do, and a lot of your listeners probably have. And it was when I hit 30. And at that time, I was just like, you know, I feel like I'm meant for something more. There's something deeper here. And I was feeling like something was lacking. I didn't necessarily know if I wanted to switch industries or jobs, but I knew there was like a calling that I couldn't say no to. And so I actually had this crossroads where I was offered another position for a large hotel brand to be the director of marketing, or I had this idea where I was in Toronto at the time, living in a big city, and thinking I would go to these workout classes, fitness classes, and feel like I didn't talk to anybody. Like I was craving community. And I would leave these classes feeling like something was missing and there was an opportunity there. And so I thought, you know, why can't I put on these experiences myself and cultivate the community for myself? So the crossroads was I could either start to do that and dabble in it, or I could take this director of marketing job. And I remember my husband saying to me at the time, are you going to regret it if you don't try this? Just try it out for yourself. Like, I know this is not you and you play safe and secure and all the things, but what's the harm? You can always go back to your corporate career. So at the time I started in Birria, and it was very much just playing around with this idea of curated experiences, which nobody knew what that was at the time. This is like 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. The word sounded fancy. No one understood it. And now curated experiences are everywhere. It's all about the experience. But at the time, it was just, let me bring people together over a shared interest or activity and pop up in different venues around the city. And then that first year, I had planned to do like five events, and I ended up doing 50 events. And so there was obviously a need. And this is before I had, you know, any sort of audience on Instagram or subscribers on my email list and all that. And it just gave me the momentum to be like, you know what, people in this city are craving community and connection. How can I cultivate this? So that was the sort of origin behind the brand.
Beautiful. And what were those first few? Because, you know, I think like now that you've been doing this for 6 years now, we sort of see the community we built. We see the after, right? Mm-hmm. But that initial, like the first event that you held or those first few events, you know, we're even talking about doing an event together and or a series of events together. Mm-hmm. Okay. but as we talk about it, I know that you've been there, done that. You know the playbook. You created the playbook, right? But back then, if this was like a whole new thing for you, right? Yeah. Tell me about what that was like when you first started to, you know, create those first events, invite people to those first events. I think for a lot of people who want to do something new, there's a lot of fear around that. Like, what if nobody shows up? What if nobody cares? What if, you know, people are like, why are you doing this? That's so weird, Pollock. Why would you want to do that? Right? Tell us about how you overcame some of that.
Yeah, I faced all of that. All of those questions, people would actually say them out loud to me sometimes. And it was definitely a path of feeling like when I first started it, I remember saying to myself, I didn't think this was a business. I actually just thought it was an idea. And I had an inkling that I needed to follow the idea. But I wasn't one of those people that thought, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I want to be a founder. I want a big company. I never really had those thoughts, which in retrospect, I think is a blessing because it probably would have scared me out of wanting to do what I was doing because I would have had maybe bigger goals at the time that I thought were unattainable. And I wouldn't have started in the way that I did, which was in a bit more of a fearless way because I thought I was just dabbling with it and that it was kind of a project and I wanted to see where it was going. So I used some of my experiences from the corporate world, which I think is such a blessing for me as well because I learned so much just about event management. And, you know, I was doing like author events at Indigo. I was working for the film festival. So I knew there was a lot that I had around partnerships and events that I used towards building the first events out. And it really all came down to like, what was I craving? What was the need that I had? Wow. And I felt like if I follow that voice, there are for sure a ton of other women that feel this way and a ton of other people in the city that must relate. And I think we've all learned that now that, you know, you look back and you're like, oh, I create something because I needed it. But then there's so many other people that can relate to that. So I just treated it as a small little thing I was going to test. And so for the first event, I remember reaching out to Lisa from The Goods in Toronto. And I was like, hey, I really love your food and it's nourishing. And would you want to partner? And she was so sweet. She was one of my first sponsors of my events. And she's like, I just love what you're creating. I'll do it. And this is before I could share any stats on, you know, my audiences, people coming. And it was like reaching out with that authenticity that reflected in everything I was doing. And that became so key. That's still the way I do business. So if I'm like wanting to partner with someone or I have a venue in mind, I actually turn to my Instagram DMs first or just like sending a quick note or have it be through a connection that I know instead of just an email. But I always approach it with what's that conversation I want to have? And if this is truly something I want to do for my gut, then that comes across in my communication. I'm not trying to sell it. I'm trying to just really have them follow that journey and be part of it with me on this like dream that I'm building. And when I do that, it aligns so well. And I can, you know, get sponsors from small businesses that are local, but also then work with like big brands like Nespresso and Our Place. And I've done that all with the same approach. I didn't change the approach according to the size, which has been really nice.
Yes. Yeah. And you really bring people along with you on the journey, which is beautiful. When you hosted that first event and, you know, it was, you know, it was over, What was next after that? Like, what did you take from that? And how did you iterate or tweak? And how did you feel?
Yeah, that's a great question. I remember the first event was a yoga and brunch event. I paired two things I love together thinking, well, since what if in his classes and no one talks to each other, why don't I pair a brunch with this? They linger and hang out. And I remember all these women sitting there and I looked around the room. It was like a 25-person event. It had sold out. And I remember thinking, oh, this is so beautiful that, you know, they're just creating this connection amongst each other. I didn't even need to push it that much. It was just everyone was craving it. And I thought, okay, there's like some magic here that people want this. And it was after that event that I just felt like I just need to create those spaces. And I ended up, you know, I iterated in the sense that I thought yoga and brunch was the thing and I would do a series of that. And then what I realized is it had nothing to do with the actual activity. Yeah. It was just the fact that I was bringing people together. So my yoga and brunch turned into calligraphy classes, turned into paint workshops, turned into like clay making and pottery. And then, you know, we even collaborated on a workshop and it was all about discovering your spark. And I think things like that just show that it really didn't matter. And I remember saying at the events, it's not about the activity you're doing. It's about the fact that you gave yourself space to come to something, to put your phone down for 2 hours, to connect with yourself, to connect with the people around you, and just leave feeling more fulfilled than when you walked in. And that's always been the ethos behind all the events that I do. And I think that that's why people can feel that energy because they just want these spaces. They're craving it.
Yeah. I mean, and what's amazing is that you started Emberia before the pandemic. And then of course the pandemic hits and we're all forced, you know, to deepen, whether we like it or not, deepen our relationship with our screens on Zoom, like virtual gatherings on Zoom. And, you know, I do a lot of my work on Zoom too. So there is like there's benefits to it, but at the same time, it became our whole world.
Yeah.
And I know that You obviously had to pivot during that time, but now that that time has passed, tell us about that, how that in real life, that you know, this idea of in real life, how that has evolved since before the pandemic.
Yeah, it's such a crazy thing to look back on now, because the funny thing is I've always been such a fan of this in-person connection. And so when the pandemic hit, naturally, you would think that I would have pivoted my business to just online experiences and workshops because they were still about connecting. And I love tech for things like this, to be able to do this and to connect with people. But I do think that there is this thing that I have where I want to use tech for good. So if it's for things like this, that's great. But then there's also a space where we need to make sure that we're still having that in-person connection in real life. And so for me, it was really interesting because I didn't lean into the tech fully and I didn't do a ton of stuff on Zoom. I was doing some and I was doing a few online experiences. But coming out of that, I had pivoted so much during that time. I had an online shop at one point delivering experience kits to people. I was writing my book on the side during the pandemic, which had it not happened, I probably wouldn't have given myself the time to create in that way, which is really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Coming out of it now, I still, like, I believe in it more than ever that now the world, because it was so deepened and our relationship with tech was so deepened, we need the IRL more than ever before. We really do. And I think people are craving it more than ever. That's why there's an increase in supper clubs and dinner parties and cookbooks and things that people want to do to just feel that intimate connection between people, usually over shared meal because they love to gather over food. And so I've really realized that I can leverage tech and I can have parts of my business online, so connecting women online, but then I want to take that connection from online to offline. And I think that's where the magic happens, because we can build it, but you really can't go as deep as you can in person.
Yes. It's like full sensory experience. Okay. That was a perfect segue to the exciting news. And the reason, I mean, we could have this conversation anytime, but the reason why I was especially excited to have it, and that's because you wrote a book.
I did. I have it here to show you.
I know. It's so lovely. It's so lovely.
Thank you. Thank you. I know that you would love this. We love a lot of the same things. So I know that this would be something that you love. And yes, I was able to do this and co-author with my friend Laura over the pandemic. And it was 4 years in the making. And I had no idea before doing a book that I always heard authors say, like, oh, it took me years. And I'm like, okay, and I started it. We actually wrote it in about a year and a half, but it took 4 years from like end to end to actually have it as a physical copy in hand now. And so I'm really excited.
But also there's like such beautiful photography. It's not just like, when you're writing, it's the writing, but then there's also like, it's like you're trying to create an experience with the book.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. And I realized the reason that this actually came about was because I was hosting all these events and I would often hear people say, oh my gosh, I love this feeling that this event has given me, but how do I carry that in my everyday? Yeah. How do I actually have that in my day-to-day life? And I'm like, well, how can I give people a tool or something that they can use in their day-to-day so that they feel like they can embrace their life and not want to escape from it? Yeah. We often hear like, oh, I can't wait for the vacation, or I can't wait for the big milestone, like I'm buying a new house. And those are amazing things, but we all know that life is really a combination of those little day-to-day moments.
Oh my God, so true.
It's so important. So actually giving people a tool where instead of in today's day and age picking up your phone and scrolling, I want you to be able to pick up this book and actually flip through to one of the activities, whether you're doing it with, you could do it with your daughter, you can do it with a partner, you can do it with your friends, or even on your own. And the whole idea is to get people to scroll a little bit less and live a bit more and actually feel like they spent their time in a meaningful way and one that's really fulfilling.
Oh my goodness. First of all, I can't wait to get my hands on it. I had a tab open to order it and then I got distracted, but it'll happen. I'm going to get it as soon as it ships to Canada. I will have one
personalized copy.
Yeah. Oh no. I saw that you had that on there that you could get it signed. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm getting mine signed. But I wanted to, I know that you poured so much love and thought into this book. What are some of the highlights for you? Like, what are some of the things where you're like, I can't wait for, someone to read this and to bring this into their life?
Oh, thanks for asking that. It's funny because I was just saying this earlier today that it's a very surreal thing. And I'm sure you felt this too. When you birth a project into the world, it's like, did I do that? It doesn't really feel real. And I think part of that is obviously once it's in people's hands and they're doing the activities and they share it with me, then I think it'll register that. Well, they're actually having, you know, there's impact. I've actually been able to change behaviors or I've inspired someone. So for now, it still feels like this surreal thing and I'm holding this thing and don't feel like it's real. But I think the exciting thing is that I have done pretty much every single activity in this book and it all comes from trying it out, testing it out, doing it myself. And a lot of it happened over the pandemic. So one of my favorite ones in here is called Cafe at Home. Mm-hmm. And there were times during the pandemic where obviously, you know, everything was closed. So my husband and I would transform our living room into a little coffee shop and we would play music and like take a side table, throw a tablecloth on it. We would like have a French cafe scene set on the TV in the background. And then we would just like make a whole ritual over like a tea or a pour over coffee. Mm-hmm. And it became the highlight of our day. And I thought, you know, this, of course, during the pandemic, you were seeking out moments like this, but why can't that happen any day? Like, why does that need to be just during a time in the world where it's everyone's in crisis mode and you need to relax? I'm like, I need to bring this to people to do all the time. So something like Cafe at Home, where there's brunch in bed, which we've done before as well. And like things that to do with nature. So there's different sections in the book, but one of them is nature. One of them's nurture. There's nest and there's nourish, which is around.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So it's meant to be, you know, elements of if you're going outside, how can you make your interaction with nature feel like you don't need to escape to the woods and go on a digital detox to feel connected. You can do little things every day to feel that way. Or you don't need your home to be magazine worthy to feel like it's a space that's safe and comforting for you. You can actually just create little nooks within your house or do activities to make it feel like a true home and one that's like lived in because you actually live in it, not because it's meant to be perfect. So all of the things in here are just like, done with so much love poured into it. And I am really excited for people to feel inspired that, you know, they think that, okay, I get to do something and I actually really love the life that I'm creating and not just feeling like that's an unattainable thing in the future.
Yes. Oh, it's good. Pollock, how often do you create those moments for yourself now in your life?
Well, I, of course, being the person who wrote this book, I'm like, it gives me an extra reason to make sure that I'm doing it myself. I want to be able to walk the walk and not just talk about it. So it's an amazing reminder for me. I'm human, just like everybody else. So, you know, I have my moments where I catch myself on social media and I'm like, wait, what am I doing? I need to put this down or, you know, before bed, making sure I'm like winding down. But one thing I've noticed that I do, and I do have a lot of friends and people in my life tell me that I'm very good with building rituals in my life. So I try to infuse rituals, traditions, things that I can put on the calendar or that I can just look forward to every week that add up to those moments that create a beautiful life. So one of those things is like on a Wednesday, it's midweek. So my husband and I will go and grab coffee and a croissant and we'll go for a little walk during the day because I'm like, why work for myself if I don't?
Oh my gosh, that is so true. You know what? I'm so glad that you brought this up. And I want to hear more about your rituals because I think I also love rituals. And I feel like I'm at a stage where I'm transitioning into finding new ones, you know? Mm. And I would love to hear about yours. And I also, you know, even with the women that I work with, I always encourage them to create rituals out of everyday life, right? It's like just this idea of, as you said, being present to your life, creating moments of beauty. I like to say romanticizing your life because
completely.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So, but I would love to hear about some of your rituals.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you're doing that because if we're not doing things like that, our days go by and years go by and all of a sudden we're like, where'd the time go? And you know, this as an entrepreneur, we work for ourselves because we crave freedom and then we give ourselves no freedom.
Oh yeah. So back to that. So thank you. I actually lost my train of thought a little bit there because I'm so excited by this topic, but that's exactly it. When I transitioned to having my own schedule and setting my own schedule, I found because I was in, you know, I'd like back into entrepreneur mode full time again, I felt like, oh my gosh, got to get through my to-do list. Well, I'm not being productive enough. I'm not getting enough done. I need to go, go, go. Gosh. And then there was a point where I was like, wait, exactly as you said, part of the reason why I wanted to be an entrepreneur was to create my own life, to not have somebody else drop a million meetings on my calendar and tell me this is what you're doing this week. I wanted to own that. And yet here I am strung, like, you know, tied to my to-do list. And I really had this moment where I was like, if you want, it's not even about need. If you want to take an hour long walk because it's a gorgeous day, you are going to go take that hour long walk, right?
Exactly. And I find this, it's such a funny thing because we all do it and it's so common. And I hear this, especially from a lot of women entrepreneurs, that we don't give ourselves that permission and we are our toughest bosses. Like, I'm the toughest boss I've ever had. Yeah. I'm so myself. I don't give myself breaks. I feel the need to be productive all the time. I'm like, so if I catch myself eating lunch at my desk, I'm like, what am I doing? I like left the cubicle world so that I could like romanticize my life. Yeah. Like, I want to be out on a picnic in the middle of the day. Yeah. So I totally feel that. And I think it is those rituals that will help with that because it's those reminders. So some of the things that I've done that actually might resonate with you or your audience is because I said, you know what, I am working for myself. So what were the things when I was working corporate jobs that I wouldn't necessarily look forward to that I can now do? So one of those things is a Monday morning. The fact that on Sundays, you know, the Sunday scaries, you'd be like, oh God, I have a week ahead full of meetings. And you might not be as excited about it if you're working in a job that you don't love. And so now I take 2 hours on a Monday morning. I actually don't start my Monday workday until about 11 a.m. And the reason for that is because I can. Like, the whole point is I can do that. So why don't I allow myself a slow Monday morning? I've made pancakes on a Monday morning before. I've like done a really long yoga class. I'll take my dog for a really long walk or a hike. And that to me is just like reclaiming that freedom to be like, I deserve this. I've created this schedule for myself. Why am I not enjoying it? Why do I feel like I'm not deserving of it? And I think that all has to do with, you know, the conditioning of how we're raised and all the things of needing to be productive. So I'm learning to undo a lot of that. But the same thing with Friday afternoons, that's something I'm trying to do as well. That like a Friday would come around. And if you were at your desk at a job you don't love and it's 5 p.m., you're like, oh, if only I work for myself and I wish I could just log off. And it's like, then why am I working at 5 p.m. for myself on a Friday? And as entrepreneurs, I mean, we can, you know, pick back up on a Saturday if you need to log on for an hour. And we enjoy it because that's doing work we love. But in order to like create that sort of integration, I don't call it work-life balance, but work-life integration, then I feel like it's so important to have those moments that you can just like put a stake in the ground and say, yeah, like I can do this. So I'm going to do it because I can. So those are some of my weekly things. And then daily, I always make sure I make time for movement. That's a big thing for me. But, and I know we all hear that often, but like if my workout seeps into like 10 a.m., that's okay for me because I'm like, it's okay. I'll start my day a little later or I'll take a call before my workout and I can have that flexibility around it.
Yes.
Offline time in the mornings is also key. I try not to look at my screens until I've done my morning workout and gotten ready for the day. And then I will log on. I'd rather be creating first or like thinking first than consuming. And so that's a big one. Kind of protect that. But other fun rituals are like, the croissant and coffee on a Wednesday or I try and do offline Sundays as well. So like having a slow Sunday where I'll like invite friends over for brunch and like not be on my phone and not be on social media. I try and create those little rituals. And then I'll do like monthly supper clubs. I do a cookbook club. So like all of those kinds of rituals and infusing them into my days and months, I feel like are, you know, the things that make up my life. Or rituals around the holidays too. I have a lot around that.
Yeah.
Like I host a holiday drop-in every year, which is really cool.
Yes.
So all of those things are, you know, I do them for 1 year, 2 years, and then they pick up. Like people now ask me about my holiday drop-in.
Yeah. Where is it? I want to save the date on my calendar.
And it becomes a thing. And then it's really beautiful because if you look at all cultures, there's such importance placed on tradition. And the reason is because it's rooted in something and people, you know, pass it down over generations and generations. And I think that's really beautiful. So if you don't have those in your life, you can also create your own through little moments and little things and little experiences that you can do.
Yeah. No, I love this so much. It is so beautiful and it's so you. And I really love the way that you're bringing it to people because it's true. I think, you know, many of us have some of these things that may have been passed down from, you know, our parents or our grandparents, but then life has changed so much. And so we don't even give ourselves permission to do those things. And what you're doing is not only like saying, yes, of course you have permission, but you're inviting people that like, actually, this is a path to enjoying your life more and just being in it. And like, and you know, like I talk about a lot is being a human being and not a human doing, right? Like,
yes,
yeah,
exactly. I love that. That shift from doing to being is such a profound shift to have it. And it takes a lot of undoing a lot of the stuff. But I think that if we can get to a place where we realize that just being is enough, like just is enough. We don't have to perform and replace a lot of that on ourselves. So that is really important.
Yeah. You know, I have a question for you and it's like, it's a little bit of a selfish question because I actually want to know personally, but like, how do you find yourself as like somebody who is driven and growth oriented? And, you know, I know like, you know, you're into all the same things I'm into, right? Yeah. Of like, of yes, how to be more productive and how to like create and how to be successful on our own terms. But still, we want to see success. We're not like, oh, everybody relax and enjoy your life. Like, yes, we want to enjoy our lives, but we also have this like extremely like driven, I want to create and I want to self-express and I want to live up to my full potential. Like these are definitely themes that we both have. How do you balance that? And I know for a lot of women who are listening, they also identify with being that way, whether they're in the corporate world or entrepreneurs, doesn't matter, but they identify with that. How do you balance that with this idea of slow, intentional living?
Oh, it's such a great question, because I think that is why you and I relate. And it is such a dichotomy of wanting to slow down, but then also wanting to achieve it all and having this like need to achieve. And you describe me to a T. That's exactly it. Like I'm always looking to do more, be more, achieve more, grow more. Mm-hmm. I have such a growth mindset that even I make everything productive. Like even my list of books to read, it's like a list and I love checking it off. My list of movies to watch, like I'm very intentional about what I consume, but my list of movies to watch, I'm checking it off and I'm excited, or a recipe to try. Like everything becomes this need to be productive. And so as I've gotten older and as years go by, I'm learning more and more to undo a lot of that. But the balance comes in realizing that what you said about being is enough, and also knowing, and I've heard this from a few people, it's like, you can do all the things, you just can't do them all at once. Mm-hmm. And so really trying to learn that there's going to be seasons of my life, times where I'm pushing and there's like a sprint towards something. So right now it's the book, and the book has just launched for pre-order. So, okay, the next month of my life, it's going to be crazy. Like I can't just disappear offline and hope that people will buy the book. Like obviously I need to be part of it. And I love doing things like podcasts, interviews, or chatting with people, or going to events, or hosting my own. But then there has to come, everything needs to be balanced out. So with that, I will make sure that there's times where it's like a full sprint. So let's say this past week, you know, I had a launch event for the book in Texas. I was doing like a ton of podcast interviews. I was like doing in-person events. And then with that came, okay, there needs to be something that balances this out. So then I had to take a day during the week kind of off and be like, my energy is so depleted. Like in order for me to recharge, I have to balance this out. Yes. And then that way my battery recharges and I can step back into it.
Yes.
I do that a lot with vacations. Obviously not everyone can do that, but I try my best to like plan these trips, whether it's like what you did, like a weekend away, just time to recharge. And I'm very intentional about the time I spend when I'm away. I try and disconnect as much as possible, maybe not from like emails and stuff, but just social media, just like not consuming while I'm away, being super present. My inspiration recharges. And I think that's really important. And then just setting reminders for myself to like also be like forgiving of myself, because I'll be really hard on myself. If I have been really hard, then I'll be like, oh, like you're not even enjoying any of this. And you know,
it's you beat yourself up for that.
Exactly. Then it's like, now I feel bad that I'm not actually being present. So I remember even for the book launch, I was super just busy and nervous going into it. I don't even like to use the word busy, so I try and stay away from like language like that. Yeah. Like it's like a friend actually said the other day, she's like, oh, life is full. And I'm like, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Full sounds better than busy. But I tried to like, it was just feeling very full leading up to the event. And I remember just having the conversation with friends and with my husband and being like, if this event goes by and I'm just stressed the whole time, like, what is the point?
Yeah.
What is the point of all this? So like asking myself, trying to catch myself in it before it even happens, saying, what is the point? What's the intention? If you're working on something, and then sometimes being okay with being like, this is great, but not for right now. I'm going to push something.
Yes. I've been doing that too, Pollock. And there's so much power in that, and being like, you know what? I really want to have this conversation, but I have like a lot. I have a lot on my plate right now. And this conversation can happen in 2 weeks, and that's totally fine.
Exactly. Knowing that that urgency, it's like sometimes self-inflicted. Urgency. Everything's urgent to me. It's like,
I know.
You know, oh, I'll respond. Oh, someone's emailed me. Someone wants this from me. Okay. I'm such a like pleaser in that sense of just when it comes to work, I really don't want to disappoint. And I want to be that achiever that I've always been from days of school. And so that's in me. But I, having that moment where you just like take a minute saying, is this urgent? Is this a priority? And an example of that even is my community that I've built. So with Embiria, you know, I've built this community over years, but it was like only the community through the events. And now I want to formalize that with a membership community. And I've had this idea for so long, like for the past year, I've been like, this needs to become a more formalized membership community so that women can connect, whether it's at the events or outside of the events, but it's like this 360 degree of connection.
Yes.
And I've wanted to launch this for a long time, and I've been talking about it, and I've been teasing it on Instagram, and I've posted about it. I've let my email base know about it, yet I haven't fully launched it. And the reason being is I'm like, wait, I'm also launching a book. Like, do I really think that I can launch all these things at once and not have like a breakdown?
I know.
It's just like the fact that I think that that's realistic and that I'll be able to give my 100% to both things was, and also hosting tons of in-person events at the same time. It just didn't make sense. And so things got to give. Okay. The season that I'm in is the book.
That's right. And you have to, you know what, you do need to, I think first of all, you're right. It comes with experience, right? Like as you do more of these things, you start to understand what it means to have capacity for something. And also if something is important to you, you want to give it that energy and time that it deserves. Right. And so, but it takes like a lot of, wisdom and also maturity to kind of be like, you know, this isn't going anywhere, you know, it can be hard.
Yes. And that feeling of, I think you and I have talked about this, that like there are things out in the world and we get excited about wanting to pursue our ideas. Yeah. We have no shortage of ideas. That's not my issue. Like I have so many things I want to build and create and do, as do you. And that's lovely that we're multi-passionate and excited, but how is it humanly possible without a team of like a lot of, and even with a team, your capacity to pay attention to those people, then to give the time and energy it takes to be strategic enough to plan, to focus, can't happen unless you yourself feel focused and clear and have a clear vision. And I find that for a long time, I was trying to do all the things. And so, you know, I've tried to park things to just be like, okay, I'm going to come back to this. It doesn't mean it's dead. And even if 9 other people launch this in the interim, it's okay. I will have my time and I will get eventually.
Yeah.
And it'll be when I do, it's fine.
That's right. Everything in divine timing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So Pollock, you know, it's really amazing to me how you've kind of found your niche. And I know it's like that word can sound like, oh, you know, you like, you know, spent months on the internet trying to find your niche. That's not at all how it happened, right? Like it was really you taking steps and putting yourself and your ideas out there and getting feedback and also saying, do I like this? Don't I like this? Right? Like it's been this whole evolving thing. And it requires you to really trust yourself through that process, right? Of like, you're not following somebody else's playbook. You're not like, oh, that other woman created this thing and I want to do that. So let me see what she did. That's not what you did, right? So how did you trust yourself through that process, tune into your instincts, follow them? Because again, I think like, because there's just so much out there, and you know, we talk about social media all the time and how it can really stifle creativity and you know, your unique identity because you're constantly comparing yourself to someone else. How did you find your own unique path in spite of like being out there and having all these inputs and yeah.
I love this topic. I think it's so relevant actually for me right now because it coming to figure out my niche. Even now, I still struggle with what is my niche. Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to get women to live fully, but even just like claiming that and being like, I want to step into that and doing it through events and all the things, I still always go back to like, am I doing the right thing? And having those questions. But I love that you're talking about this because it was actually a recent lesson for me where at the start of the year, I remember when I came to Austin, because I split my time between Toronto and Austin. When I came to Austin, I was like, well, I'm working remotely. Of course, I want to host some events here, but I also, you know, maybe the idea of leaning more into online is something that I should be doing because mm-hmm. it's like nomadic freedom and passive income and all the things. So last year, at the end of the year, I had created an online masterclass with a friend of mine all about hosting in-person events. And I started to think like, oh, is that what I'm supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. The only reason I thought that is because the world has been inundated with online courses and this like model of doing that. Mm-hmm. I think you want to do it and you're leaning into it and you have ideas for it. And that's how you see your business scaling and growing. That's amazing. For me, I totally got muddled with thinking, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I can, all the things I teach or all the things I talk about, I can create them in online courses. And I went through a few months of like mapping those out and thinking of what that could be and like dabbling and like hosting a dinner party and making it a course. And then I remember at the time when I was like seeding that idea out, I had women messaging me saying, this is great, but I would love to like go to a dinner party with you, or I'd love to like be in person and see how you seat the table. And I'm like, okay, this is funny. I'm like trying to create something that it's not true to me. It's not true to my family. Whole thing has been in person. I'm all about creating a beautiful lifestyle and showing women like by example how they can do it. I live it myself and bringing them along that journey and creating these gatherings. So then why would I focus only on, you know, creating all these courses? So I really had to listen to that voice and be like, what do I truly want? What is the business I want? What do I want to create? And now I've leaned into accepting that people know me for IRL. We joked about this. You and I talked about this before, that they've like coined me the queen of IRL.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hilarious and ridiculous, but I'm going to take it because if that's what people think I am, I mean, that is what I portray. I love everything to do with real life. And through listening to that, listening to feedback from my audience of like what they love following me for, know me for, or like to interact with me for, I really realize like I need to tap into those things. And even if they don't make sense right now, it's going to lead to something else. Like that's what always happens. Like I didn't start my community with an online membership program because that wouldn't have felt right. I would have seen someone do it and thought, that's amazing. I could totally do that. But I had to go through 5 years of hosting in-person events to get me to a place. I'm doing it backwards. Most people create an online community and then do the in-person gatherings because they realize it's an important part.
Yeah.
I did all the gatherings and realized, oh, wait, I need a way for them to stay connected.
So now I'm doing
So I'm learning those things. And I think when, you know, if there's like a question around how to follow that intuition and voice, like the easiest way is to like meditate on it. I think you said this to me the other day too. Like you got to get quiet and you have to stop consuming. It's me because it's so easy to think that you see an idea and if it lights you up or you're excited about it, that it's your thing. But that's not necessarily true. It might excite you for different reasons. And unless you let yourself get quiet and stop consuming, you're going to get distracted. And they're all just distractions. They're not necessarily paths that we should be pursuing.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I think that that's huge. It's like what we may think it's like research, but it's not research because it's not intentional. It's just whatever's coming up. Right. And so it is truly just a distraction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I've wanted to write a book since I was in elementary school. Yeah. I've literally said that out loud. Like I want to write a book. I think I'll write a book one day. I would talk about it. It's like, so the book makes total sense for me because I wanted that. And that's been my dream. And even hosting events, it makes sense. I wanted to host events. There was no sort of outside influence that got me to do that, which is the only reason I've been able to host hundreds. Because I think if you do things that you end up doing for the sake of thinking it's the right thing, it never really leads to what you want. And you end up having to like revisit because it's not authentic and you don't feel
it.
So
good.
It falls off.
That's right.
And you're like, oh, wait, why did that thing not work out? Oh, right. Because I wasn't meant to be doing it.
That's it wasn't in alignment. That's right.
Yeah.
Pollock, where can people find your book? How can people go to your events, engage with your community, stay tuned for your new membership, all of it?
They can find me. So you can find me at Embiria on Instagram. That's E-M-B-I-R-I-A. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, my website's Embiria.ca. And if you go to the website, it's Embiria.ca/book. So you can pre-order or order a copy of the book. It's also available in the U.S. through Amazon as well. So mm-hmm. if you have any U.S. listeners. But yeah, and then you can go sign up for the membership on the website as well. Join the community. I'm always like posting or even on my Substack, I'll talk about the events that I'm doing in different cities. So if you just follow along and my messages, my email, all of that is always open. So I love connecting with people. It's the real reason I even use social media still is to stay connected. Okay. So if you want to reach out, like I'm always open to a great conversation.
Wonderful, wonderful. So everybody needs to go buy Pollock's book. I cannot wait to get my hands on it and to try out all the things. Pollock, I wanted to finish our chat by asking you one question that I ask all the guests, all of my guests on the podcast. And that is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
Oh, I love that question. And I love your brand just in general with that, because I think that truly embodies what women often strive for, is to be all they are. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's really beautiful that you're doing this work to get us all to a place of that. But to me, it really means that I can live to my fullest potential and everything that I'm dreaming of mm-hmm. can be a reality if I allow myself and I unblock myself and if I actually follow the path that I think I'm supposed to be on and allow myself to receive and feel deserving of those things to eventually reach all of those dreams. Like when we meditate on it, when we think about it, it's like we can have that all and it can happen and our life can be all that we want it to be. If we just allow it to happen. So yeah. I think that's what it means to me.
Oh, that is so beautiful and such a beautiful way to end this conversation. Thank you, Pollock, so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so nice to chat with you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.